taking responsibility for actions. That's something new for Washington, D.C. To get specific, here's the purveyor of political accountability, Dan Newman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to dnewman.org. It's a weekend. It's Saturday, June the 9th. Normally, we would skip a day here at dnewman.org to give you a chance to breathe and us a chance to breathe, but there's something pending that I think we need to have a serious discussion about and for you to mull through this weekend. And it's the immigration issues in the United States. We're going to talk in the second half of our podcast today about the discharge petition that's being bandied around the House of Representatives in D.C. You may have heard about it, but you, like me, probably don't know the details. I have all those details for you. But folks, this immigration thing is really gotten out of hand. Have you heard the statistics released in the last 48 hours about just the criminal activity by illegals in the state of Texas? According to the DHS, over 255,000 criminal aliens have been booked into local Texas jails between June 1st of 2011 and May 31st of this year, of which over 171,000 were classified as illegal aliens by DHS. Between June 1 of 2011 and May 31 of this year, these 171,000 illegals were charged with more than 265,000 criminal offenses, which included arrests for 495 homicides, 29,526 assaults, 5,264 burglaries, 33,637 drug charges, 350 kidnapping charges, 14,794 theft charges, 21,674 obstructing police charges, over 1,500 robberies, 3,100 sexual assaults, 2,673 weapons charges. Wow. The Department of Public Safety criminal history records show those criminal charges have thus far resulted in over 110,000 convictions, including 219 homicide convictions, 12,244 assault convictions, 2,900 burglary convictions, 16,358 drug convictions, 144 kidnapping convictions, 6,642 theft convictions, 10,508 obstructing police convictions, 929 robbery, 1,528 sexual assault, and 1,167 weapon convictions. These numbers are staggering. And folks, that's just the state of Texas. These statistics from 2011 through 2018, May 31st. There is no excuse, there is no justification for allowing the people that would do these and commit these felonies against American citizens, primarily. Some of these are against other illegals that are in the country. There is no way to justify allowing that to continue. If you're the U.S. government and we have them working for us, supposedly, you've got to stop this process from happening. Real quickly, legal immigration in the United States is a really big deal. Do you know that over 1 million legal immigrants come to the United States every year? Now, let's put 1 million in perspective. There are approximately 192 countries in the world. It depends on who tells you. You have some countries that come in and out of existence every year. It's somewhere between 190 and 200 constantly. That 1 million immigrants that legally come into the United States every year exceeds the total of all other illegal immigration entries into all combined of those 192 countries. In other words, the United States allows foreign people to legally come into the United States at a total of more than all the countries in the rest of the world combined. Those on the left, they want to say we're heartless because we don't just open our borders and let anybody and everybody come in. But folks, over 250,000 serious crimes occurred from 2011 to 2018 in the state of Texas alone by people that didn't immigrate here legally. They walked across the border. They slipped in. Not all or bad people, no question about it. But we've got to start somewhere, and we've got to stop the flow of these senseless crimes into the United States. How in the world does 535 legally elected officials that are in Washington, D.C., 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate, and their primary responsibility that we send them there for and we spend billions of dollars for them to do every year is to create laws to protect us, to start with the framework of the Constitution. It's pretty plain. There's a whole lot of stuff in there that tells them what to do and how to do it and what they can't do. And yet, with a U.S. Congress that's comprised of Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and even some other crazy party memberships, those 535 can't fix this. Or can they? Do they really want to fix this? People say the Republicans stop it. That when Obama had the White House, he had the House of Representatives, he had the U.S. Senate. He couldn't get an immigration law passed to fix this. We've got a Republican White House, a Republican House of Representatives, a Republican Senate right now. They haven't fixed it. Yet there's all kinds of clamoring going on to fix it. The DACA recipients, those approximate 900,000 people that are now in the United States that came with their parents illegally at some point when they were children primarily, they've been here their entire lives. They're illegal. They're still illegal. Now, they've been given an extension over and over and over again that is about to expire. Congress can't even decide and agree on a DACA proposal to fix those kids that, with no fault of their own, absolutely did nothing wrong. Their parents brought them. What are we going to do about them? And they're sitting in limbo and can't figure it out. Well, let's talk about that discharge petition. We're going to do that. And sit tight, because it's very important. You need to understand this, what's on the agenda right now in D.C. Back right after this at dnewman.org.
Subway Restaurant's Storytime Theater proudly presents Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell something delicious. Hey, little fella, what you got there?
Oh, this? It's the Big Hot Pastrami Sub from Subway Restaurants.
Mmm, that does look tasty.
It sure is. Climbing that beanstalk out there makes you hungry.
You mind if I have a bite?
Sure! I'll trade you for that goose over there with the golden eggs.
You got a deal!
Hungry for something big? Then pick up a Big Hot Pastrami Sub from Subway Restaurants. Layer upon layer of delicious hot pastrami stacked high and toasted to flavorful perfection on freshly baked bread. Topped with pickles, mustard, and melted Swiss cheese, it's the perfect way to satisfy any giant-sized appetite. Big Hot Pastrami, available at participating restaurants for a limited time only. See restaurants for details. Subway, eat fresh.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. See and hear it first at dnewman.org.
Once again, I want to thank you for joining us here at dnewman.org. You know, you'll hear some opinions here, but when we give our opinions, we always give you the evidence and facts to back those up. We never want to tell you what to think or how to think. We just want you to think and come up with your own opinions. Just thought I'd throw that in. Well, you've heard about the discharge petition. What is it? How does it work? A group of some Republicans and nearly all the Democrats in the House of Representatives is trying to go around House GOP leaders and force a debate later this month on a series of immigration bills against the wishes of those leaders. How do they do that? Because leadership, as you know, controls the agenda in both the House and the Senate. The process they're trying to use is very seldom used. It's called a discharge petition. Here's how it works. A discharge petition is not very successful very often. It requires the signatures of 218 House members, and it doesn't matter the size of the current House. The current House's total membership is fixed by statute at 435, and it always is. So that means 218 is more than half the House. That's usually the number needed to pass bills if all members vote. However, this House is now at 428, not 435. There's some resignations and one death so far. But the number of signatures for a discharge petition is locked at 218 always, regardless of how many people are sitting in the House. The House can only consider a discharge petition on the second and fourth Mondays of each month. Now, that's not by Constitution. That's by House rules that they passed. If the House is out of session on one of the eligible days, those people who are pushing that petition are out of luck. The House used to operate on a strict calendar system based on days of the week, like each day held a particular pedigree. That's the House's word, not mine. For instance, the House could consider certain types of bills on only a Wednesday, other categories only up on Monday through Wednesday. So a discharge petition was assigned the second and fourth Mondays of each month. Those are the only days it could possibly come up. Supporters of a discharge petition on a given issue got to get the signatures of 218 members approximately 7 days before the House meets ahead of a Monday, which qualifies. Supporters of this current discharge petition on immigration and DACA have got to get 218 signatures by June 11th. Two more days. If they are successful, this discharge petition can be brought up for consideration on the fourth Monday of this month. That's June 25th. The next shot comes July 23rd. The House is out on the second Monday next month, July 9th. The House is not scheduled to be in session on any second or fourth Mondays for the rest of the year, except for December 10th. But Congress plans to be out of session for the year a few days later. No discharge petition can come up that late in a congressional session. Because of all this, it's easy to understand why there have only been two successful discharge petition efforts in the House in the last 16 years. One was on a campaign finance reform bill in 2002. The other was to reauthorize the Export-Import Bank in 2015. House leaders rarely lose control of the floor because of a discharge petition campaign, and you can understand why. It's tough to get one done. So what's going to happen? Well, let's look at what possibly could happen. Let's say they get those signatures this week. If that's the case, then any signatory of the petition can ask to call it up on the House floor just after the Pledge of Allegiance on June 25th. However, it's possible the House could secure an agreement to consider the petition later that day. The pros and cons of the discharge petition itself gets 20 minutes of debate on the floor. But here's where it gets tricky for this particular discharge petition. You're not going to believe this. Supporters of the effort are not discharging a solitary immigration DACA bill. They're discharging just the framework for the House to consider a process of four different immigration DACA bills. So after the debate, the House will vote up or down on the petition itself. If the House votes in favor of the discharge petition, members begin an hour of debate on the framework to allow the four different ones to come up and be discussed. The gig is up if the House votes against the discharge petition, which would be odd considering, remember, they got enough supporters to even have it, so that means there's enough to pass it. Then the House votes on the structure for the four bills. Same process. If the House approves the framework, everything goes ahead. If they say no, everything stops immediately. Then the House allocates 40 minutes apiece for debate, followed by votes on each of the four bills. This is unbelievable. The first bill is the conservative immigration plan backed by House GOP leaders, authored by Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte. I like him. Then the House considers a Democrats' Dream Act backed by Representative Lucille Allard of California. Next is whatever bill House Speaker Paul Ryan wants to put out there. Finally, there's a plan supported by Representatives Jeff Denham, Will Hurd, and Pete Aguilar That bill beefs up border security and grants legal status to many DACA recipients. But folks, things get a little weird again right here. The blueprint under which the House is considering the four bills is known as Queen of the Hill. Can you believe that? They give names to these things. In baseball, this is kind of like the same thing as a National or American League Championship Series. Whichever bill gets the most votes, and remember, it doesn't have to be the 218, goes on to the next round. In other words, the winner would go to the World Series. That bill is Queen of the Hill, but not yet King of the Hill. A short debate and vote then begins. That's called a motion to recommit, the final way used by opponents to kill bills and return them to committee. Then the House votes to pass or fail the bill designated Queen to see if it becomes King of the Hill. Or in baseball lingo, that legislation would mean the World Series champion. The only difference is this. There's a World Series champion every year, except for that strike year, 1994. With Queen of the Hill, a bill doesn't always become King of the Hill. It's not guaranteed passage at the King level, even though it won at the level below. House Republican leaders are scrambling to come up with an agreement on immigration before discharge petition advocates can get those necessary signatures to send this process to the floor. You may have heard Speaker Ryan in the last couple of days publicly come out and state there won't be 218 signatures for the petition before their big immigration meeting. But everybody else is not so sure. They all think leadership won't get a deal before that, causing the holdouts on the discharge petition to sign up after the meeting. Here are some of the members who were thought to be in play who said they are not going to sign it. House Appropriations Committee Chairman Rodney Frelinghuysen from New Jersey. Representative Don Bacon from Nebraska. And Representative Dan Donovan from New York. All of those guys represent swing districts. And Frelinghuysen is retiring. That said, somebody closely following the process thinks there are other members to watch, including Representatives Dennis Ross of Florida, Daniel Newhouse of Washington, and Walter Jones of North Carolina. Ross is upset about how the farm bill blew up. Newhouse has some moderate leanings, and Jones just likes to simply buck leadership. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? It's crazy to think there is such a convoluted plan necessary to bring something to the floor to discuss. It's crazy, it's lunacy that our government elected officials have to even create stuff like this. It makes absolutely no sense for that to happen. I do not understand it. It makes me angry. Why can't they just sit down and have a conversation and work through the issues of any real immigration plan? You know what, folks? We the people are not being represented the way we're supposed to be represented. Members of the House of Representatives, the reason they have only two-year terms is originally constructed constitutionally. This was called the People's House. These were supposed to be everyday citizens from towns and districts around the country that would volunteer for very little pay to give up their jobs and go to Washington and represent their friends, their family members, their business partners and associates, and other citizens in their towns and cities. And for that sacrifice, they were only going to be required to stay up there 2 years. Our forefathers never intended for politicians to work in Washington, D.C. as representatives for their entire careers. That came later when some of those people figured out that they could vote themselves lifetime membership in a really exclusive club and could give themselves pay raises in that exclusive club, and they could make all the rules themselves. The Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And these guys not only have the money, they have the power. And so the House, it's very obvious now, especially with this immigration debacle and this discharge position war, they're not working for us. They're trying to keep a level playing field. And the bottom line is, folks, I think the only people that really give a rip about the 250,000 criminal aliens that have been arrested, convicted in Texas for serious crimes, over 200 murders, the only people that care about that are the people of Texas. And that is a shame, because all Americans are paying a price with our brothers and sisters from Texas. We got to get this fixed, folks. And it can't be some magical discharge petition. These guys and girls have got to get around the table and get immigration fixed. They've got to stop the killings. They've got to stop the stealing. They've got to stop the drug crimes. People are afraid, and fear is not something that Americans should be dealing with. This is not a third world country. This is the United States of America, the greatest country on planet Earth. So what can you do? Let me challenge you. I know you listen to this, you read this, and I really appreciate it. But pick up the phone and call your congressman or congresswoman, call your senator, and tell them, get us immigration and get it fixed. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in the Senate said the Senate's going to work all of August. They're not going to have an August recess. You know, words are good, but quit talking about doing something and simply get it done. Whether they don't want to admit it, doesn't matter. They work for you and me, and they need to work for us doing what we want them to do. Get it fixed, guys. Get it fixed, girls. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll be back on Monday at dnewman.org. Thank you for being here. So long, everybody.